Blog Talk Radio.
Up in life, he just wants to be heard, whether it's the beat of the mic. He feels so unlike everybody else, alone, in spite of the fact that some people still think that they know him, but fuck him, he knows the code. It's not about the salary, it's all about reality and making some noise, making a story, making sure his click stays up. That means when he puts it down, time's picking it up.
Ooh, a little bit of a lengthy introduction, ladies and gentlemen, seeing as how I've got half the show to tell you about Survivor Series and NXT TakeOver. NXT TakeOver gets the gist first, or gets the choice to be known as going first. So, with that being said, NXT War Games, NXT TakeOver War Games in the Toyota Center in Houston. Gotta say, had an interesting time down in H-Town. It wasn't all spectacular, you know, everybody having a good time, especially me. I'll get into that later during Off the Rails Uncensored. So, with that being said, NXT War Games in Houston featured a lot of great matches and a lot of wow moments. So, you had Aleister Black versus Velveteen Dream. And I got to say, the pause is because I was amazed at how good that match was. I was amazed at how good Velveteen Dream really was. The kid is amazing. Can really honestly work well with one another. Aleister, being the fact is, you know, he is a rough and tough type guy. And is he unorthodox in certain regards? Yes. Velveteen Dream is also very unorthodox, very off the wall, very unique offense. But, you know, he's got those two definitely have talent. They showcased it in NXT War Games. Aleister ends up hitting Velveteen with the black mass, knocks Velveteen on his ass. 1, 2, 3. There you go. That's the gist of that match. Then you have the women's match for the vacated NXT Women's Championship. Nikki Cross, Ember Moon, Peyton Royce. See, that's the thing. I only remember three women being involved in that match, considering the fact that these women really put themselves in a position to earn the right to be inside of the main event. Asuka ends up handing Ember Moon the championship after Ember Moon pinned Nikki Cross with a springboard stunner. I thought that was pretty cool. Then the guys, the other highlight of the night would have been Undisputed New Era versus the Authors of Pain versus Sanity. Those three teams basically beat the holy hell out of each other. Plus, I have a video of Adam Cole getting suplexed off the top of that cage, and the fans were literally, please don't die, please don't die. I gotta tell you, man, I'm still worn out from NXT TakeOver because it is, you know, the first time I've ever been inside the Toyota Center, and it makes you feel like you're in one big car because of the freaking velvet, red velvet seats. Now, during that main event, how the rules worked was if you tried to escape the cage before your team got called upon, then you get disqualified. You try to escape the cage, when that way you would get disqualified. A solo starts out, and then two group members start out, and then two more group members get randomly selected throughout the match, and they get to go in. So you have to go, when you get done with one ring, I guess you go into another ring and beat crap out of people. Sure, it was WWE-ified, but you know what? I had a damn good time, and NXT TakeOver never disappoints. Well, maybe San Antonio's was a little disappointing because Nakamura got hurt, but the point is, I had a really good time in Houston. I had fun watching all these guys and gals beat the crap out of each other, obviously, because it's War Games. I was psyched to see Asuka, Finn Balor, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, the NXT alum. This is something that mostly people will not understand. So, if you feel me when it comes to cheering, when it comes to booing, I'm reading some of these questions. This is very entertaining. But for now, folks, I'm going to put you on station identification. Give me one quick second, shall we? Gentlemen, it is the season upon which WrestleMania comes to fruition. It is the season in which we all know that Survivor Series is either going to be really crappy, confusing, or, for that matter, going to be worth our while as fans to keep coming back and seeing. Because why? We're heathens and we buy stuff that is out of our reach. Okay? So, here's the thing. Went to Survivor Series with a friend of mine, but before that, you know, I'm going to discuss all the goody-goody stuff and off the rails uncensored. So, Survivor Series features the teams of Raw versus SmackDown Live, the Tag Team Champions versus the Tag Team Champions, the United States Champion versus the Intercontinental Champion, the 5-on-5 women's match, the traditional series of women versus women match. I mean, honestly, here's the thing. I enjoyed Survivor Series. I don't care what people think, okay? Because people were going to criticize, oh, Ring of Honor, you know, does this and Evolve does that. I'm not worried about those two companies because I'm focused on exactly. I am focused on Survivor Series, and the very first match of the night set the tone for the rest of the night, because isn't that what the first match of the night is supposed to do in wrestling, according to us crazy wrestling nuts? You're supposed to enjoy a match, right? Shield versus The New Day. Well, a lot of people don't take The New Day seriously. I included, because who have they beat that's a legit tag team? Well, okay, the Bullet Club is one, but they held the titles for so long. The point is, they were the ones who started the siege in WWE. They were the ones that decided, okay, you know, let's just fire a shot across the bow of Monday Night Raw. And boy, you know, they got beat down by The Shield and the rest of Monday Night Raw before Survivor Series. So the build for this match was perfect. It was great. It is what anybody would have expected as far as I'm concerned. You know, you see what's in store. You see what's going to happen. And then the Shield and the New Day went back, you know, they went back and forth. The match was very back and forth. You saw a lot of maneuvers that the Shield, you know, high-flying suicide dives and countdown to midnight by New Day. I mean, they were just a bunch of suplexes, spears. So, was it a Goldberg match? No. There was a lot, I mean, there's a lot of things that kind of caught my attention, and that was, how is it exactly? How is it that the Shield and I wouldn't say that. So here's the thing. As I continue to get sidetracked by WrestleMania tickets, sorry, my bad, folks. I tend to pay attention to sub pay per views as well as the Royal Rumble coming up. It's only 2.5-3 hours for me. So here's what I found interesting about Survivor Series: the Shield versus the New Day. There's a lot of back and forth. The Shield, the New Day, and the Shield. Those guys put on a damn good match. Why? Because they work. They worked well with one another. So, I mean, I had an absolute blast watching that match. You know why? Because here's the thing. If you go into something expecting a match to be perfect, you know, the way that it was, then how are you going to enjoy the rest of your time? Exactly. How are you going to enjoy watching something if you're going to constantly pick at it? I enjoyed the Shield. You know what? Asuka's debut. Forgot to mention this. Asuka's debut was by far one of the best that I have ever seen in my life. And you know what? 2-on-1 Tamina and Natty, you know, the thorough, you know, being thorough about a match is not bad. Give me 1 second. While I chew my eyes, I feel so guilty.
Bullet Club 4444
We all just know it was too sweet. You had a great combination of events, sequence of events happening. You had Nia getting eliminated, Tamina getting eliminated, but Tamina somehow managed to make it into the top two with Natty. So you had Natalya in that match. You had a lot of things going on because it's a women's match. You know, Carmella, Sasha, Becky. Hell, I mean, you had a lot of people in that match that were decent. For SmackDown Live, you had Naomi, Carmella, Becky, Tamina, and Natalya versus Asuka, Nia, Sasha, Alicia, and Bayley. Surprisingly, Bayley didn't make it to the title too, but you know, it's okay. It was a decent pace match. Asuka is a beast, and I find it amazing, speaking of returns and also debuts, I'll get to that in a minute. So move on forward, yeah, Baron Corbin versus The Miz, kind of a so-so match, didn't really care. The Tag Team Championships match wasn't bad. Cesaro and Sheamus versus The Usos. Everyone expected this match to go The Usos' way, right? No, this was a very back-and-forth match. This was a very good match. The Usos ended up getting the victory. So Team SmackDown Live had two victories at that point. They had Baron Corbin, three. Charlotte, the Usos, and Baron Corbin were victorious from SmackDown Live. Then the main event, which didn't it kind of makes you think as a fan, okay, so which feud's going to start now? Is it going to be Braun Strowman, or is it going to be Kurt Angle? Who is Triple H going to start his feud with? Because obviously Braun Strowman and Kane started their little beef last night. A little beef? Actually, that's a lie. They started their feud last night. Actually, it started at Tables, Ladders, and Chairs. Anyways, point being, the Tables or the Survivor Series traditional 5-on-5 Raw men's match versus the traditional 5-on-5 Team Raw versus Team SmackDown Live featured Shane McMahon, SmackDown Live, the captain, with Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Randy Orton, and John Cena versus Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, and the fifth final member, Triple H. So back and forth it goes. For some odd, Joe got eliminated by Cena. Everyone wants to chat about that. I'm not going to waste my time because I've got 42 minutes left to condense Wrestle Radio, thanks to a phone call from earlier. So anyways, point being, ladies and gentlemen, this match was a very what will happen, kind of predictable, but really good kind of match. What do I mean by that? I'll just skip to the goods. There's some dissension in the ranks between Finn Balor and Samoa Joe. Samoa Joe, because of those dissension and disagreements between the two, he got found himself eliminated. So John Cena gave him that much. Gave him he gave him the attitude adjustment. Not the whatever movie calls it now. So here's the thing. John Cena got eliminated early as well. I believe Braun Strowman just completely destroyed Team SmackDown Live. I mean, that was the deciding factor, right? No. The deciding factor in Survivor Series happened to be when Triple H turns around and pedigrees Kurt Angle. Shane gets put on Kurt. Triple H gets up, turns around, just tells Braun Strowman, this is who I'm with, yada, yada. Trying to play the role of the mole, I guess. Kind of confused certain fans and confused, a lot of people, to say the least. Triple H turns around, pedigree Shane. 1, 2, 3. Team Raw are the sole survivors of Survivor Series and the traditional 5-on-5. It's not a crock of shit. It's actually a decent pay-per-view. I mean, Hell in a Cell was decent as well because SmackDown Live ran it. And that was before, I think, Jacobs got fired. I don't know I don't really keep a timeline on when guys and gals get fired from WWE unless it's my news report. So I guess on Monday Night Raw, we had a lot of things happening, including the fact that Paige returned. And you know what? Should we be able to look past someone's shortcomings? I believe we can. If this was a whole podcast dedicated to roasting someone, that'd only be too easy, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm not going to roast Paige, because obviously I'm not in WWE. She is. I'm not the one in, the new blood in women's division. When she left, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry, but, you know, a lot of controversy happened for her. She's got a very predominant family, or family predominantly in wrestling. She has a lot of history most people don't realize. She was in her mother's womb while her mother, you know, was wrestling. That's just insane, isn't it? So what does this mean for the women's division? Well, folks, why not just discuss this in my office, shall we? Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. So, what do I think of Paige returning to WWE? Oh, man. Okay. I think that it's great, and I also think that there's a problem, because I'd be lying to you if I thought it was great. Her in WWE, what? She makes money, she sells merch, she gets people, you know, she gets asses in seats. Isn't that the main concept behind being a wrestler? Last time I checked, wasn't it? I'm trying to piece together thoughts about Paige, because that's not the only thing that's been on my mind lately. You see, when I went to Houston, so I have one question for you all. When you go to Houston, when you're trying to relax and, you know, you go, you know, let's see, got in a car wreck while I was in H-Town, ladies and gents. I'm fine. Obviously, I'm still breathing. I'm still talking. I got into a car, minor car fender bender, and details I'm going to just PM you if you're interested about what happened. So here's the deal. That wasn't, you know, the very first. So, ladies and gents, as I am getting distracted by WrestleMania, yeah, I had probably a good amount to prepare for a Finn Balor signing. Went there, had a decent time. There was, yes, indeed, a car wreck. It was a minor one. But the point is, I still made it to the signing. We still made it to NXT War Games. And we had a decent time. So my thoughts on Paige returning. Oh, man. Yeah, because she has a storied past, you know, with Del Rio and the controversial video with Xavier Woods. Who would have thought that would happen? So the question is she going to succeed? And if so, will she become the new Raw Women's Champion? I think people are just like, well, forget her past. You know, we all have a storied past, and we should be able to forgive and forget. And I think that's your hormones talking, because, you know, she's a good-looking person. She does know how to wrestle. She's not an invalid, and she's not Eva Marie. So, yeah, I'm okay with her being back. I just don't really I can't keep doing this. I really can't. WWE knows that people are dumb enough to forget with all the beer and all the other stuff that they happen to do. I don't know what wrestling fans do for God knows what, but I do know that when she came back on Monday Night Raw, my initial reaction was, oh, okay, so that's why they kept her merchandise on the website, duh. Usually when they get rid of someone, you won't find their merchandise on there. And the hilarity of this is CM Punk's merchandise is still under it. That is a return I actually do want to see. AJ Lee, on the other hand, yes, because imagine her, imagine Mickie James, and imagine Alexa Bliss and Paige in a match. So here's the deal. Whenever someone returns to WWE and they have kind of a scarred past, do you think people pay attention to their scarred past, or do they pay attention to their in-ring stuff? Kind of a bit of both for me, because I pay attention to, you know, what's going around the news, and I'm a broadcast journalist, as someone used to say, as good old Bobby Heenan used to say. So I just, for me, all I know, and all for you know, is Paige is back. That's all, you know, she's on the rampage to get her way back into the graces of WWE. Obviously, she did something right, because the company still... So, how does this impact the WWE? How does this impact my life as a person? Can I function normally? Oh, my God, Paige is back in WWE. Yes, I can. And yes, I will. Now, you got Asuka, you've got Paige, you've got Sasha. Raw's women's division just bolstered up immensely. I think Lita said it best. The women's division used to be so bland and so boring, you know, just Sasha and Charlotte. They're both entertainers, and yes, they put on decent matches, but honestly, guys, it got very stale from time to time. And if two people, not just women, are competing the same week, you know, it's like the same story the entire time. It's just like a broken fucking record. No one's going to want to see it. So the question remains, how will this affect Alexa Bliss? Well, it won't affect Alexa too bad, because I can tell you from experience watching Trish Stratus deal with a newcomer like Lita. They dealt with each other beforehand. This could create good rivalries. I mean, it could benefit Raw women's side. You could have Asuka versus Paige. You could have Paige versus Sasha. I mean, there's benefits and there's also hindrances. I can't find the hindrances because why? There are none. Unless you look directly at her personal life, then you're a judgmental motherfucker, because I'll admit, I'm kind of weary of her, but I have my faults too. And so do others. Do they get magnified as much as hers? Probably not. People look past it because, you know, she had a storied past with Alberto Del Rio. She had a very storied past with, well, Xavier Woods and Brad Maddox. But the point is, she's back. And now Monday Night Raw looks like a titan again. Looks like a powerhouse. After Survivor Series, you know, which is funny because SmackDown Live never ever got the opportunity to, well, say, hey, we are the show. When Jacobs was running it, you say to yourself, okay, how does one deal with that? I mean, how does one deal with the fact that this, the B show, better known as SmackDown Live, they're not a B show. They've got talent. They've got Shinsuke Nakamura, Bobby Roode, Dolph Ziggler. They've got Randy Orton. They've got AJ Styles. The question is, folks, at what point in time did we all sit and say, this is going to be our A show, this is going to be our B show? I don't know very many people who can sit there and say that WWE picks and chooses who's going to be their A show and who's going to be their B show, but I guarantee you, Paige's return just impacted SmackDown Live immensely. Do you know why? She could have been on SmackDown Live. She could have easily signed over there. But now, this the implication being that there's a goddess and there's, well, a person that's very relentless in her quest to become a champion. Imagine having a different flavor of Monday Night Raw other than your three ice cream flavors of Bliss, Bach, and Hugs. I mean, literally, I have no problem with Alexa Bliss. I don't mind Sasha Banks other than the fact that her attitude towards fans is not that great. But her wrestling is okay. What do I believe? You know, Nia Jax? I mean, it's kind of like beating a dead horse, isn't it? You know, obviously, you have more often than none someone that cares enough to be in the business, someone that shows up every day. So here's the deal. One of the things that I, you know, enjoyed while I was in, I'm going to go off subject here. One of the things that I enjoyed while I was in Houston, aside, you know, from the horrible driving and, you know, me feeling like I was going to have a heart attack or a panic attack every time I drove through Texas, is the fact that, you know, I finally got a decent hotel. And that this, you know, the stories I can tell you about the road on my own, here's what I experienced, folks. I had pre-breakfast every single day. I was able to go see wrestling. And here's the cool thing. I almost ran out of gas on my way back, you know, briefly so I could visit my nephews again, as my sister was in town. Long story short, I had two bars on my gas tank, and luckily someone pointed out, my credit union actually pointed me out into the right direction of a credit union so that I could withdraw money so that I could survive and go home. You know, road stories can consist of, you know, what happened. Here's the thing. I am thankful that there's a lot of things you learn out of road stories, like I said. I was just thankful, folks, to be alive. That's why I'm pausing, because it was nerve-wracking. It was very, very nerve-wracking. You know, a lot of wrestling road stories include, you know, hey, we played a prank on this guy, we played a prank on that guy. You're lucky this guy didn't have a welt the size of Texas on his freaking back of his neck. I was by myself driving to Houston 11 hours and change, 11 hours and 47 minutes. Now, that's not as long as some of you guys who drove there. There's a lot of people that didn't drive all the way from Australia, but they drove all the way from New York. I mean, that is what I call true fandom. And what I experienced was a lot of learning curves. One is, when you're in Texas, just take an Uber, because those idiots, you know, they can get in the wreck and they won't get a ticket. What I mean by this, here's the plan. That's what was in my head. Here's the plan. You go out today, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. I had a friend that lived literally like 45 minutes from my hotel, and I felt like every time I drove that I was going to have a fucking heart attack, because the drivers in fucking Texas are a joke. If Jersey drivers are better than Texas drivers, and that's saying something right there. If Jersey drivers and Philly drivers and New York drivers, for that matter, because you can't move in traffic, but for some fucking reason unbeknownst to me, what does it have anything, you know, that matters, because it affects your mood of the trip. You know, when I got into my little car wreck, it did impact my mood, because, you know, you're trying to enjoy your stay, you're not even from that city, and yet you have somebody that goes and decides, hey, you know, it's cool to harass you in Walmart, and two, it's cool, you know, just make someone's mood go from happy-go-lucky to, oh shit, now I have a ticket. But it's a learning curve. I had some learning curves. Next time I go to an event, I'm just going to take a fucking Uber. I don't care if I have to pay $100 to a fucking event. I will do it, because, yeah, you save money if you drive yourself, but in the same token, you're also putting yourself in jeopardy, especially in states like Texas and places that you're unfamiliar with. It doesn't have to be Texas. It can be anywhere. So learning curves were as follows. Always bring somebody else to drive for you. Don't go alone, because it gets boring. I figured that one out the hard way. Actually, you know, I spent time with a buddy of mine, Shannon. Pretty cool. Pretty tall guy. I call him Big Shan. The point is, there's lots of learning stuff as you go along. It's never going to stop. Like, you're never going to be able to predict the future unless you're psychic, unless you're clairvoyant, unless you're a master at predicting stuff. So, this is another Rules of the Road segment done by yours truly, B-Train. And also, rules to remember. Write stuff down. Like, if you remember a bank that shares with your bank, you know, if you're Arvest or UMB, you're fortunate, because there's UMBs everywhere. There's Bank of America's everywhere. What was my big mistake? Not making sure that I had more than one debit card. So, Here's the deal. What I experienced in Houston was a lot of, you know, there's some miniature ups and downs. There's some many, there's just some many learning experiences. It just happens to be, you know, certain things that people won't understand. And that is, whenever you go on a road trip, you should never, like I said, you should never go alone. And two, if you're going to go to an event, I mean, what's the point of, yeah, what's the point of just going alone by yourself, especially in a rental car and you're like on a rural road, country road, country roads that whine and make you feel like you're on a roller coaster ride. So in other words, don't go alone. Book, write down a lot of stuff. Yeah, I know it sounds like school, but here's the thing. When you go to an event like Survivor Series, I got to admit something to you guys. Toyota Center was, I won't say trash. The seats made me feel like I'm in a fucking vehicle, which don't know why you would make. You know, they're comfortable, though. I will say that. The seats were comfortable. They're ugly-ass red, but dear Lord, everything's bigger in Texas, right, including the speakers that got in the way of the Tron. Is there anything nice I could say about Houston? Probably not, because here's my deal with Houston. It's not all negative, you know, they're nice people, very cordial, very polite. I had, you know, for the first time, I spent time in a decent fucking hotel, the Hampton. Do you know what's cool about the Hampton, ladies and gentlemen? Free breakfast, not only that, the bed sheets are clean, the housekeepers actually come and clean your room. Versus the other rinky-dink fucking hotels that I was in. And by rinky-dink, I mean, there are cracks on the floor. I've stayed in Motel 6. And let me tell you, yes, it's cheap and it's a place to stay. So as long as I'm not being rained on or having the toilet leak on the room above me, I'm okay. So there are good moments in Houston. There are bad moments. In Houston, there's probably only just one bad moment that I had. I had a dickens of a time trying to find a way to the highway until I finally figured it out, probably the second or third day. Shannon showed me some of Houston, like where the shopping places were and where the cool spots to go. Texas is so big, guys, that like it literally takes 4.5-5 hours to get outside of Texas. So for those of us who have driven in the southwestern part of that region and gone to a wrestling event, like I've gone to Oklahoma. I've gone through Oklahoma, don't get me wrong. It's 6.5 hours. I've been to Tahlequah. I've been to Norman, and I have been to Tulsa. But anyways, that's just, I'm telling you about my experience because this is how you work and prepare. Especially for pro wrestling, because me and a friend of mine and others are gearing up towards WrestleMania. And once again, I'll be a part of going to all the major 4 pay-per-views in and around wrestling, because this is what I do. This is my, you know, this is my addiction, is, you know, being able to see the NXTs beforehand, being able to go to the signings, being able to see all the other amazing wrestling fans that are around. Now, I did happen to meet some really cool people in the row in front of me. Very nice lady who is a bartender. She's amazing. I had a war with words at first, but then we got along after that because she's an amazing person. She's also involved in the business. I won't say who she's a friend of, but you know, she pointed some stuff out to me. I pointed some stuff out to her. She was very receptive and very listening. You know, sometimes you just have to figure out what's good and what's bad. So what was good in Houston was the fact that I enjoyed Survivor Series. It was well worth the money. You know, I always go to as many signings as I can, and that's my advice to all you lovely fans, is if you see a signing that's free, you show up probably 4 or 5 hours before, and then you go directly to the event, you know, minus the casualties that may happen before then. But you go to the event, you have a good time, you don't complain, you don't, you know, squabble, whatever, because what is more worth it? You know, I drove 11 hours and 47 minutes. My body was aching like you wouldn't believe. I go, and what's rewarding is that I got to go to the Hampton Inn. I got to wake up every morning, have breakfast. I got to see professional wrestling. Sure, some people, a lot of people debate what professional wrestling is, what it means, and what it means to them. This, that, the other. Point is, guys, do what someone says. Uncle Bob, I love you to death, man. Do the drives. Fly. Get your ass out there. See things as a wrestling fan and as a wrestling promoter, as a wrestler, as a manager. Get out there and do your thing. Have fun. Enjoy. And you know, it's weird. I feel like a part of me's, you know, growing a little bit, but at the same token, a part of me is still learning. Learning, like, what to do on a trip, what not to do on a trip. And so far, you know, of all my experiences, I went and saw the Royal Rumble this year. I've seen WrestleMania for the 5th time in my career as a wrestling fan. Does that mean that I'm bigger and badder than all the other wrestling fans? No, because what it is an experience that I want to share with you all. It was, you know, fun to go to all these events. I now say I hit the major four all in 1 year. I hit Rumble, WrestleMania. I went to, the major four, SummerSlam and Survivor Series. So therefore, I've been to all four, and I'm going to continue that tradition. Do you know why? Because I'm crazy, that's why. And I don't intend to let eye surgery slow me down. Houston, Texas, I would not advise anybody to move there. It's a beautiful city, but Jesus Christ, holy fuckballs. There's so much traffic there. I'm not saying that I'm unaware of New York, but Jesus, at least New York knows how to keep their shit together, including the fact that we've got trains. So does Houston, but we've got trains that keep wrecks from happening, right? In case there's some casualties going on, am I dissing on Houston? No, I'm just venting about them. I'm venting about the city. Other than that, you know, it was good to actually sit and talk to some fans during the Finn Balor signing about certain things. Promoting, speaking of which, I know it's so late into the show, but it's time for the advertisements. For those of you wishing to sign up for Monster Factory and become a wrestling star, announcer, ring announcer, referee, manager, whatever, go to monsterfactory.org, contact Danny Cage, the head owner, coach, and trainer at monsterfactory.org. His phone number will be on there. It'll be on the vehicle that he drives to through Paulsboro, New Jersey. If you, again, like to contact Danny, contact him about more information about becoming a wrestler, referee, manager, make your dreams becoming a wrestler, so on and so forth. Go to monsterfactory.org, sign up for Danny's camps. If you wish to sign up now, speak now, forever hold your peace. Danny will go over with you what his school is all about and what you can expect. So, and speaking of wrestling schools, you can go to any wrestling school in the Midwest, go to Brave for Black School in Iowa, or the National Wrestling League, TPC, in North Kansas City, Missouri, which is located off of Swift Street. You can contact NWL TPC on their website, NW League. Let's, you know, click under the school, contact the phone number. I'm pretty sure they will be apt to answering your phone calls. Also, for more information regarding wrestling schools, you can do some looking, checking under Google. It's quite simple. You can tap on your phone. You can check however you want to check. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, if you haven't done so already, you can go to WWE.com, sign up for the network. $9.99 after the first month, which is free. You can get all the pay-per-views, including Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, Survivor Series, and SummerSlam. Catch up with all the latest from NXT. You can also catch old-school promotions like Smoky Mountain Pro, PWG, IWGP, ICW, CZW, NPJW, catch old matches with Shinsuke Nakamura, Asuka, and more on WWE Network. If you have a valid username and password, you can do so. You can sign up for the network is what I'm saying. You can use a valid debit or credit card to sign up for this information. There is a monthly charge fee of $9.99. That is all. Once it charges you that fee, you can also use preloaded cards for $29.97. That includes 3 months, so you don't have to worry about renewing entirely. So, you can also, if you want to only get Evolve, CZW, and all that, you can do so through flowslam.com. Speaking of networks, go to mfnetwork.com. Sign up for $7.99. Get a tour of the school. Get a virtual look at practices at Monster Factory. I promote this school heavily for a reason, folks, because we did have him as a guest on our show. It's not the only reason, because this school gets the attention of a lot of people. You've got guys like Mick Foley coming, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Val Venus, D'Lo Brown. You've had Bill DeMott, Michael Gepetta, Mike Wichlinski. You have different various people that with big names that have come from Monster Factory, like Matthew Riddle, the Impact Tag Team Champions, Punisher Martinez. So, I mean, how does this end? Well, it's the advertisements. So, ladies and gentlemen, in closing, I actually had a decent time in my stay in Houston. The people were nice. Traffic was awful, but the wrestling was the main concern of mine, whether it was going to be really crappy or really good, and it was really, really good. So, you know, of babbling for an hour and a half because I had to restart an episode, I think I'm doing pretty good. So, ladies and gentlemen, until tomorrow, after I get done with work, I will be doing another episode of Off the Rails Uncensored, and you will get my complete on Survivor Series and NXT War Games. Until then, if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Toodles, bitches. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would see.